CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston. A professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul. To empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. I know it's usually Voices of Soul on Monday, but Jean is going to be away for the rest of the year, and she will be back. And when she comes back, she's only going to be on with us every second and fourth Monday. So today, I am very pleased to have Jeff Brown with us. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Laura. Glad to be with you again.
Always. Yep. Jeff is an incredible author who's written two very key books. The first one was really his own journey called Soul Shaping, yes. and the new book that he's written has kind of been, Jeff, since he wrote Soul Shaping, he has exploded on Facebook. And with that, he's written a lot of different quotes and entries, and he's kind of used that to write his new book, which is Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground, Words to Awaken Your Heart. And it's just a list of, you know, these beautiful quotes that you have offered to people. And I know that there were a lot of people that joined in with the quotes that you offered to offer their own feedback and their own journey. And it's just, Jeff has this great little community on Facebook, and he has a bunch of different groups, and he really connects with the people. I know we did do a show called The Apologies to the Divine Feminine. We talked about that. Yeah. We didn't do the Apologies to the Sacred Masculine.
Right.
There's so much though in this book, and you know, you could ask yourself a question and open the book and receive an answer. I think it's a lovely book. It's a great Christmas gift. So people should be taking this down. Great Christmas gift. let's start off with the first one, because it's almost a thing, and it has so much in it. Do you want to read it, Jeff?
The first quote in the book?
Yep.
Essential lessons, that one?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Essential lessons cannot be avoided. Callings don't go away. When we turn away from our lessons, when we ignore our truth aches, the universe jumps into action, orchestrating our return, a symphony of self-creation dedicated to our unique expansion. This is the nature of karmic gravity. We're returned back to our path until we fully walk it. Return to sender, address now known.
Jeff has a great way of taking
other people's writing and changing them. Yes.
But also taking words and making them your own, own dictionary of words, like truthaches.
Yeah. Truthaches has really become, it's gotten out there a lot, actually. It's really,
yes.
At first it didn't, but it really has. Elizabeth Lester's used it a lot and posted on Facebook with it. And yeah, so really that's what this quote is really about. It's about, you know, this interesting idea that we come in with what I call in Soul Shaping Soul Scriptures, this, you know, very clear template of possibility for our expansion, certain emotional lessons we're here to learn, and certain callings we're here to actualize, and archetypal pathways we're here to walk. And, you know, the work of our lives, of course, is to identify those scriptures and then to live them, to allow them to transform us through the living of them. And you know, this idea that the universe is somehow interfacing with them, like aware of them, or planted those karmic seeds in us, and And that to the extent that we walk them, we're supported, and to the extent that we don't walk them, we're reminded, right? You know,
yeah.
That's what that quote's about. And, yeah.
It's, I love how you ended it, return to sender, address now known. It's
right, because you find your scriptures, you find your home, you know.
Yeah.
Right, you're returned right back to that. You know, we trip out, we distract, we avoid, we're overwhelmed by the culture, we're, you know, we're led astray, we internalize shame, we don't recognize our magnificence, we don't think we have a right to fight. You know, there's so many levels and degrees of obstruction to this, to clarifying our path and then granting ourselves permission and creating the conditions to actually live the path. And, you know, but the idea is to at least know, like the first step is just to know through your lived experience, in the bones of your being, really, because that's where it is. That's where you yield the fruits. Just, you know, what you're doing here. You know, what's your thing? What's your gift? It doesn't have to be lead to radio shows and things. It can be really simple and subtle and quiet and, you know. But when you have peace with path, right, that's when you've returned, you know, your home.
Yes, and we can all have those moments of peace with path. And then we get pulled back out
then
again.
And we forget.
Yeah.
Forget. We remember, we forget. I mean, I forget a lot. I mean, thank God I have radio shows to remind me.
Radio shows. You have your Facebook.
Yeah, a lot of reminders I have now. That's the cool thing. It's true. I mean, it's wonderful, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I liked. Well, we could go through each quote on every page, but I have pulled out a few.
Sure.
All right. So page 8.
Yeah. You want me to read this one?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I just like that one. I often feel that our greatest individual challenge is to close the gap between our unflattering self-concepts and the truth of our magnificence, to see ourselves through the eyes of those who love us, to love our so-called flaws as gifts from the lords of karma. Perhaps this is what we're here to do for those we care about, to hold the reflection of their divinity up before them until they're ready to embrace it as their own. Yeah, it's just that gap, right, between, I mean, it's like the ungrounded spirituality movement didn't help with this movement away from the self, this Eckhart Tollean disparaging of personal identifications and all that, and, you know, witnessing the pain body as though that somehow is going to heal you or help you work your stuff through to transformation. You know, in many ways, this non-dual, this not really grounded version of non-duality, because it removes uncomfortable things from the equation, this quest for the oneness at the expense of the self has actually supported the internalized shame movement that is so intrinsic to the collective consciousness, right? Really what we need to do is honor the self, recognize the magnificence of the self without taking ourselves so seriously. You know, it's like, what is my, you know, there's the ocean of essence, and then there's like, what is my individual droplet of meaning? You know, what's my role in that ocean? And so the point of that quote was really just to call us, to remind us that we want to close the gap. We want to link our idea of spirituality with a healthy self-concept, you know. I mean, I couldn't have written these books if I didn't have a healthy ego in that way, at least enough of one, right? You know,
yeah,
I want to get narcissistically egoic, but you want to be able to realize your magnificence or your capacity for that, right?
And I think there are a lot of people out there now that are actually, you know, agreeing with you. You know, it's not that we need to get rid of our ego. We need to help our ego grow. We need to help it heal.
We need to distinguish the healthy from the unhealthy ego. I mean, it's almost an obvious distinction, right? It's like, you know, where does the healthy concept live, and at what point does it disrupt us and take us out of our center and give us a false sense of self? We don't want that, you know. We don't want to be in that narcissism. But at the same time, you know, you got to have someone to come home to, you know, so that when you have a unity consciousness experience in relationship or on the meditation cushion or wherever, you have somewhere to return to, so you don't simply evaporate into essence and be an ungrounded spiritual bypasser. You know, I mean, it's tempting, especially in a painful world. But and it's a good place to hang out sometimes for a while. But at some point, you got to come back down into the bones of your being, because that's where we live, and work it out. You know, so watch the pain body, sure. Name the pattern, sure. Recognize the misidentifications of our neurotic mind, for sure. But then what? I mean, so now we know we're not that, but what are we? Just unity? I mean, that's silly. That's a drug trip. You may as well just do drugs. That's like cosmic crack, right? We got to come back down into the body and work our stuff out with this vaster consciousness, but at the same time, the honoring of the localized peace and converting our identifications into the transformation at their core. You know, my calling to write arose from being Jeff Brown. Not from being some archetype, but from being Jeff Brown with that mother and that father and that reality. And I don't need to call that false self all the time. There's a place that it's false, but there's a way to convert it that actually, because it's part of the story that led me to this moment. So how could I completely dishonor that history, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think it's really important that we acknowledge that, you know, the masks that we wear, but, you know, those pieces that are wounded, and you talk a lot about shame. So let's go to my favorite quote on shame.
Yeah, we did a shame show once. I love that show.
We did. It was a great show.
Popular show. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So page 36, it just, because shame seems to be that piece that...
Yeah, it's everywhere.
That, yeah, and it takes us out of... It makes us feel shameful. I mean, it takes us to that place of darkness without healing, and then we distract ourselves with something else so that we don't have to feel it.
I think that shame is I mean, we're just beginning to understand it. I think it's so deeply woven into the collective consciousness.
Yeah.
It's, you know, self-disparaging of the self, dishonoring of the self. It's horrifying, really. How can somebody, you know, recognize their magnificence, actualize their gifts, you know, bring it to the world, all that they're here to offer, if they don't think they have value?
Right.
If you don't think you have value, it immobilizes the entire karmic structure in a way, you know. So I'll read that. Shame is rooted in the shame pit of generations before, perpetuating the self-hatred of the collective unconscious, still lodged in dark energies and imaginings. Your shame has nothing to say about who you really are. Never did. Never will. In truth, you don't need anyone else's permission to be here. God gave you all the permission you need. And who are you really? A divinely intended wave of magnificence. An ocean of gifts just waiting to be opened. A tsunami of epic proportions. First, we clear the path of inner debris. Then, we walk our way home. So, you know, when we talk about spirituality, we need to talk first about psycho-emotional healing and healing the shame body. It's really fundamental and is really at the heart of our spirituality. I mean, why isn't our spirituality including in it a recognition of the emotional issues we're here to work through? You know, nothing transformed me or matured me in my spirituality more than emotional healing. You know, otherwise it's just a concept or a construct, you know. So, and shame is a wonderful place to start. You know, wash your body in the shower. How do you feel when you touch yourself? Do you love yourself or do you feel shaming, right? I mean, it's a wonderful place to start. Start with the body. How do you feel about your body? How do you feel when you look in the mirror? How long can you sustain your gaze, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts as you look at yourself? You know, how critical are you? You know, are you able to say I love you and really mean it? I mean, just start right there. So much work there.
Yeah.
You know, we should have a whole society. We should have mirrors everywhere on the city streets and people just like lining up doing shame work, you know, standing around other people and validating them until they actually see it in themselves, like that kind of thing. It would be amazing, right?
Would be very
Imagine
amazing.
It. Right at the corner of Yonge and Eglinton in Toronto, a big mirror, right? The shame mirror, right? You know, and it's like someone standing there looking at themselves and people drive by and honk and go, you're amazing, you look beautiful, you know, just keep going like that until we're like completely alight with, you know, beautiful.
Yeah. We're going to go to our first break.
Cool.
You're listening to Intuitive Soul. with Jeff Brown. Jeff can be found on the web at soulshaping.com. I don't know why that left me earlier, but he can be found at soulshaping.com. He can be found at Facebook. Join his groups. He gives a lot of information to people. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD. At AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
The people saving whales and giving your thanks to our seas. My respect to the ones in the forest standing up for our old trees. Them giving food to the hungry again, hope to the needy again, life to a baby again. Careful free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need and I will care for you. Care for me, and we all have opinions. Some of them get through, but there's better people with more good to do. Good to do. And what I have could be a message, or just some words from my heart. My respect to the ones making changes. Lives, they'll give their own, like giving food to the hungry again, hope to the needy again, life to a baby, giving care for free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need and I will care for you, cause you care for me, and we all have opinions. Some of them get through, but there's better people with more good. Everything we need and I will care for you, cause you care for me. We all have opinions, some of them get through, but there's better people with more good to do, good to do. Oh, good to do.
Live the life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Jeff Brown with us. Jeff can be found on the web at soulshaping.com. We're talking about his new book. He's often shortened it just to Ascending, which I like. We've been talking about Well, we've been going through a lot of the quotes. I think the one that I want to go to next was just because it's kind of the thing we need to start doing the work we need to do. And so that's quote on page 19 about courage.
Right. Courage lives at the heart of this journey. We cling to the familiar, and sometimes it kills us. We have to step beyond our comfort zone and make a leap of faith onto the growing edge of our soul. Faith in yourself is everything. I am soul. I am vast. I have a right to fully honor my sacred purpose. I decide how far I go on this path. I'm here for a reason, and I won't stop until I find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Courage.
Courage.
I mean, you need faith.
That...
you got to find it somewhere. You know, some wonderful parent figure or anything, something in your soul's journey, history, who knows. And you certainly have to be persistent, the other element. But courage is what I call shtussel in soul shaping. It's just like you got to be willing to keep going to your growing edge. You know, not all the time. You can't do it. You have to come back and you have to integrate, too. But you have to have that element, I think, if you want to, especially in this world. Like, I think at this stage, this bridge crossing, we're at this crossing from survivalism as our defining principle to authenticity as our orienting principle. Before, who we were was defined by whatever allowed us to survive, whatever got food on the table. Your personality was shaped around that. And that's, people are getting tired of that now. They want something more, something truer. They want authenticity, who they really are, to decide how they manifest. And we have a long way to go. It's like, you know, we're at the very beginning of that journey, I think. But I think the thing that's going to cross that bridge, especially at a time in the world when we're not really fully supported in that culturally yet, right, is courage, because you're busting out of the parameters of the culture. And so in many ways, even though there's more support now in social media and shows like this and all that, you're still pretty alone, you know, a lot of the time with this. And it's not like you go to the street corner and there's shame mirrors there supporting your journey, right? I mean, it seems like it's a crazy idea at this, right? We laugh because at this stage it's like, what, right? But who knows? Maybe it's coming. I might put one up in front of my house, actually. See all my boring suburban neighbors standing out there actually deciding it's time to wake up. Yeah, it'd be cool. You know? Yeah.
Courage is hard, though. It's the one thing that we have to have, though, to step on this path, because without it,
you're doomed.
You know, we just want things to stay. We just don't push ourselves.
Yeah.
We're afraid.
Yeah, it's scary, you know.
Yeah.
Scary to live on the edge like that, you know, to keep, you know, I'm scared. You know, I'm keep pushing my edge. And, you know, we put Carmageddon out there. I'm always exposed. It's my journey. It's my calling. But it brings up all my early stuff around my associations between, you know, being visible and attacked from early life. I have to drop in and find courage all the time. And, you know, I think all the time about going into one of my walk-in closets with TV, old reruns of Little House on the Prairie, bags of Oreos, and just hiding out. Not being courageous anymore. You need some of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but after a while, if you keep doing it, you keep pushing that edge a little bit, it does start to become kind of a way of being, and it can be really exciting, too. I mean, you get to shape your lens and your eyes and your way of being constantly. You keep growing into the next step on your path. So courage starts to get associated with something satisfying, but for a lot of us, it takes a long time because we have to utilize that courage at first to work on the emotional material. Without getting really a glimpse of the positive for many people for many years. I mean, you know, we're not trained to realize that this is going to keep going. This is going to take years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does. Yeah. And, you got to have guts.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, while you were talking there, your film, Carmageddon. Tell people a little bit about that. We're actually going to do a show in the new year about it after I've watched the entire thing.
Yeah, cool. Well, Carmageddon is a film that's still in festival phase. We just won the Audience Choice Award in Costa Rica, but we've just put it up free online until December 21st. We've had over 5,000 views since the end of last week. So the book's hot, the movie's hot, and it's really just a movie about my personal journey with a spiritual teacher and chanter named Bhagavan Das, who was made famous in Ram Dass's book Be Here Now. He's the guy who brought Ram Dass to the feet of Maharaji and Karoli Baba. And Ram Dass came back to America and wrote Be Here Now, and he kind of, you know, glorified Bugs in the book. And so Bhagavan Das came back to America, now famous from this book, and spent, you know, the next 30 or 40 years chanting and living and making all kinds of trouble. And he landed in my house at some point in, I think it was 05 or 06, and we just shot a doc, started to shoot a doc pretty spontaneously. And so the movie is really my journey with him. It starts with really the light, when I'm really elevating him and into him, and the next part is the shadow when things fall apart, and the last part is my trying to put the pieces all back together, make sense of it all. And Ram Dass is in it, and he really calls out Bhagavan Das and his behavior, which is really quite radical in that community. What he did is really courageous, actually.
Right.
Sean Korn, the yogi, David Primel, Waugh, David Life, David Newman, Robert Gass, a lot of really brilliant people have a lot of opinions on it, because I go to them, it's part of my journey to figure out what's happening and how to understand this and how to reconcile this guy who's evolved in some ways but so devolved in other ways, and you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of parts to it. It really is a journey of finding my own ground and grounding spirituality and all that, you know.
Right. Okay, so you can find out more information about that if you check out Jeff's Facebook.
Yeah, the fan page is there. Jeff Brown fan page would have the link for till the 21st, and it can be purchased or downloaded any time after that. Off soulshaping.com, there's a link to KarmageddonTheMovie.com.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's trailers and all that stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's look at page 61.
61. You got to 61, Laura.
Oh, may imagine it. I read the whole thing. What are you talking about?
All right, here's 61. At the heart of our expansion is the capacity to be vulnerable again. Although the world rewards insensitivity with the spoils of war, it takes more courage to surrender than to numb. I'm not talking about a weakened form of surrender, but one that is emblazoned with courage. It's through our vulnerable open heart that our divinity rises up to meet us. So often the most damaged people are the most advanced and feeling souls. They feel everything and are more strongly impacted by the disparity between an authentic life and the falsified energy of the world. We must never surrender our right to surrender. So, you know, this idea that it took me a long time, and it took, you know, heartbreak and a love connection that I wrote about in Soul Shaping, and for me to really understand that open-hearted path was the even more courageous path. You know, there's, of course, being willful and pushing your way through has courage to it. But there was something, it was like I didn't get it as kind of a conditioned male warrior in a way that, like, I saw the male path, the driven path, the doer path as the really courageous path, and I didn't understand the feminine. I didn't understand my grandmother's tenderness and the, you know, the way she would hold the space for the family with her heart open, and the disappointments and the crying and the returning back to faith again and all of that. I just thought, that seems ridiculous, you know. It wasn't congruent with my perceived role in the world, and over time I've come to believe that that path is not only the most courageous path, but is ultimately the open-hearted path, is really the path to the God consciousness. You know, the paternalistic male, that whole trip that presents heightened consciousness as a lone wolf experience on a meditation cushion with you and God, to me is a secondary path to God, actually. The real path is relational and open-hearted. And so, you know, as we shift from survivalism, where vulnerability is of no use to us because we're just adapting our consciousness and armoring it to stay alive, to authenticity as an orienting principle, vulnerability becomes very important, because you can't identify your path except through the open heart. That's where it reveals itself, when you open, right? So it's sort of counterintuitive for the conditioned male warrior, but I think it's the direction we're going. The rise of the divine feminine, all of that, I think, is about this shift, you know.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Beautiful. Yeah, let's get an American president next, and a female American president. Let's just hand it over to the feminine for a while, and then we'll come back, and when the men are ready, we'll come into balance, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. I have Jeff Brown with us. Jeff can be found on the web at soulshaping.com, and please check out his Facebook fan page, just to get more information, and there's a lot out there. And he offers everything very openly and discusses things very discusses very interesting topics from a place of how to move into your heart and, you know, and how to accept who you are and the pain and the fear that we've had to grow through to work through that. So you're listening to Sky Radio by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
My best friend gave me the best advice. He said each day's a gift and not a given right. Leave no stone unturned, leave your fears behind. And try to take the path less traveled by. That first step you take is the longest ride. If today was your last day, tomorrow was too late. Could you say goodbye yesterday? Would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every night you have. If today was your last day, against the grain should be your way of life. What's worth the prize is always worth the fight. Every second counts, cause there's no second try. So live like you've never lived twice. Don't take the free ride in your own life. If today was your last day, would you make your mark by mending a broken heart? You know it's never too late to shoot for the stars, regardless of who you are. So do whatever it takes, cause you can't rewind a moment in this life. Let nothing stand in your way. Would you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you have. And would you call on friends you never see? Reminisce on memories. Would you forget your enemies? And would you find that one dream that I'll spare?
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul. Today we have Jeff Brown. Jeff has written another great book called Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground, Words to Awaken Your Heart. And it's available everywhere. It's a great Christmas gift because it just has a bunch of quotes that he's used, especially with social media. And it's a nice way of looking at different things. If you have a question and you want to know the answer, just open the book and it'll be there. We've been sort of talking about different quotes that I like. when we went to break, we were sort of talking about how, you know, the show is kind of authentic, and that's really what Jeff's all about, is trying to get us back into our authentic selves instead of, you know, getting into the hype of radio and just, yeah, you know, trying to get to that place where we could be real.
Yeah. I know that was my work. Like, when I started to do shows, like, in 08 or 09, I was, like, trying to find this voice. My best friend would listen to me. He'd go, you know, you don't really talk like that. And I go, well, it's radio, right? You know, and he really pissed me off because I, you know, was like, I thought I was doing good. People were listening. But it was true. It took so much energy to prepare the show because I was preparing to be in a certain state that I thought was radio, right?
Right.
But now I don't prepare, you know, and it's perfect. It's, you know, what's the point of the show? I mean, especially if you're writing about authenticity, it seems kind of ridiculous that you're hyping yourself up to put on a radio show mask.
Mm-hmm.
When I listen to shows, TV, radio, everywhere, I just get so tired of whenever, you know, they sound like they're all sounding like they've been watching this, as I said to you on the break, that, you know, the same kind of imitating this tape of how you're supposed to talk when you're on radio or television.
Right.
And I just think we're really ready for people to just be completely and utterly real. It's so permission-giving, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. And it removes that kind of stigma about the figure on TV, the media figure, the projections, which are so radical, right?
Yeah.
Because they're immediately human. And,
right.
Yeah, I think it's just really good for everybody.
I agree.
Yeah. And one day it might be good for ratings, too, you know? So then you'll get, like, a big news, like a note from above. It'll say, you know what, just be real. It's good for ratings. And then we know we're making progress, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
We can hope that happens someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of the biased news that we usually get.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go to page 92.
92?
We're going to talk about relationships. It's kind of a one I liked.
Oh, yeah. Imagine the next step, one where we don't see relationship endings as defeats, but as victories and necessary openings on the path to wholeness. Imagine the next step, where we honor the courage it took to open to the possibility of love, where we see intimacy as a wondrous opportunity to deepen in karmic stature. How can it ever be a complete defeat? It took such courage to brave it all, to make love with the divine, to touch God through our vulnerable heart. This is not to say that we don't grieve loss, but to remind us of the opportunity that lives at the heart of every farewell. A little scar tissue can go a long way on the path to presence.
Hmm.
We all know about that one.
We know. Do.
But really, it's like if you see the path of the heart as the really courageous path, every time you take a shot, you got to give yourself a pat on the back. I mean, it's, you know, it's so easy to armor after woundedness. It's so easy to armor in an overstimulated world. We all have a reason to close down. We've all been given enough evidence. We've seen enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then just thinking, I remember that with the woman I wrote about. I called her Rachel in the book, but in Soul Shaping, and I'm writing a higher consciousness love story now, which is partly modeled on that experience. And I remember that my challenge was to open in a way I'd never opened before. And I did. I opened as wide as I could open, you know, at the time. And I remember, even though it was impossible and the suffering was unimaginable, and it was like how it didn't make any sense that we would open like that and that it couldn't be possible. None of it made any sense. But I do remember feeling like, wow, I mean, this is transformative, this opening. You know, and that opening ultimately led to my writing. You know, I remember after all was said and done, I had a choice between shutting down because I had now evidence to support my armored theory, my warrior theory that you don't open, right, from the experience. And then I remember being at Harbin Hot Springs and just moving into my body and moving into the pain in ways I never had before. And at the end of that two-week journey, was the call to write was ready. It was like I was cleared enough. And I started to write Soul Shaping right when I got home the next day, I think. And all of that really happened. So that was the gift of the opening, you know. And the suffering, actually.
Yeah, it's all part of the same thing. I mean, we don't grow. Relationships are how we evolve and grow anyway. And
yeah,
if we're moving towards our heart, we have to, it's the only way we can do it. I know so many people that, you know, have never had relationships, and, you know, they're in their 40s and their 50s, and so then all of their work is being forced on their career relationships, like their work relationships, and although that can work to assist in some way, it doesn't help with the intimacy, because you don't fall in love with your boss, you know, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I don't think, I was just writing a piece about this, I don't think that you have to be, you know, everyone's soul scriptures are different. Some people really aren't here to primarily focus on relationship as their ultimate path. They have a relationship with their work or their calling or whatever it is. But at the same time, you have to have some in order to grow relationally in relation to something, you know.
Yeah, to get through your fears, to see the mirrors.
Yeah, I mean, of course. We're wounded in a relationship. We could heal, can heal ideally in relationship. But, you know, I think that, I mean, there's no more wondrous way to, or effective way, actually, to deal with the unhealthy ego than to get heartbroken in a relationship, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you won't take yourself that seriously anymore once you realize you can be hurt like that. And I didn't think I could be hurt like that. I was mostly the one who walked away always. And so that experience was just so humbling. Humbling, that's really what it was. It was like, wow. You know, this is, I guess I'm just human. Right?
It's, well, yeah.
No, of course, ridiculous, right? But necessary.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that that's a very valid point, because that happens to a lot of people in a lot of different relationships where, you know, they're always usually in one particular role. They're either the one being hurt or they're the one that does the hurting, and they don't realize the significance and the importance of shifting into the other role.
Right. I do have a quote about that.
You do, 78.
Oh, thank you. I was looking at it.
I think.
Oh, yeah, this one. Yeah, cool. Yeah, in so many love relationships, there seems to be a runner, someone who's more aloof, and a chaser, someone who's more eager to connect. Often these are established patterns. Some of us tend to either chase or flee in every relationship, but not always, as many of us have fears in both directions, the fear of abandonment and the fear of being engulfed. And live out both patterns at various times. As we heal our wounds, we shed these patterns and get more comfortable with being with only those that meet us on equal footing, eye to eye, heart to heart. That's when real vulnerability begins. Because, you know, it's true, like when you're locked in that role, whatever you're working out or living out or repeating or whatever, you know, the distance or father thing or the whatever it is, you know, avoiding intimacy or whatever, being in, seemingly empowered when really you're just running away from vulnerability. Like all of those, you know, they both positions are not vulnerable. Even though the chaser feels heartbroken, they're never really vulnerable because they're never really being truly met. They're not really ever at risk. What's the risk? The other one's not really there. You know, it's not really intimate at all, you know. And obviously the runner's having the same experience of avoiding intimacy.
So
I think, you know, we work it out and we reach a point where we can just stand and look at each other face to face and both be completely present and open. It's rare. I mean, it's even many married people will tell you that in many ways they're still living out that pattern with each other. When somebody wants more contact, somebody wants less, right?
I mean, we base our relationships on need. You know, it's what who can meet our needs. You know, we both have needs, whether they're the need to be chased or the need to do the chasing. You know, that's we have these needs, and that's how we are in relationships. We're looking for our needs to be met, which makes it very challenging.
Right. And so, as opposed to what would be your vision of the next step framework?
I think it would be giving. You know, not focused on our own.
Right. Not filling our own deficits, but just
right.
Just save a service. Loving, honoring, worshiping.
Yeah.
Nice. I think that's right.
Who knows?
Yeah,
I think
but I mean,
right.
I think we need to have reached a stage where we're feeling pretty, you know, satisfied with our, you know. I think for me, finding purpose in my life is helpful with that. Like, I don't go looking to have all these deficits filled all the time anymore, you know.
Right.
Kind of infused now with, I feel satisfied with the self, right? You want to get satisfied with the self, so then you can move into connection on every level in a different way. That when you're looking for the connection to help satisfy the self, it's different, right?
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. We have Jeff Brown with us. Jeff can be found at soulshaping.com and on Facebook. Check him out on Facebook because he has several groups and fan pages that you can join and get lots of information. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's NewSkyRadio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD at AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
After my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying, now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will, I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor,
live the life you've imagined.
Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston, and I have Jeff Brown with us. Jeff, you are about to open up a new website. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have a fan page called Love It Forward on Facebook. I encourage people to check that out. And we are working on a website, loveitforward.net. My first edition of Soul Shaping was sold by a homeless guy in Toronto, Slim, St. Clair and Christie, and he sold tons of books. And I always had this desire to save one of my books for the creation of a distribution pipeline on the street level, grassroots level. So Love It Forward, amongst other things, is going to be a movement, you know, in many ways, doing what Occupy was endeavoring to do, but actually doing it in a concrete way, by creating a distribution pipeline. So this book, Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground, will be the first thing in that distribution channel to be sold worldwide by homeless and economically challenged people on a street, grassroots, and community level, to allow them to improve their conditions economically, reconnect to the world. So bringing them back into the field of oneness in a way that's tangible rather than just theoretical. And then gathering corporate sponsorship and support to develop and use those funds and other funds to help take that to the next level so that eventually everybody's part of the system. So instead of having to just go to the bookstore to buy the book, you can buy the book there, but you can also go look for the person in your community who's part of the Love It Forward movement who's selling it on the street level and help them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I've been wanting to do this forever. It's complicated to set up, but we're working on the site and have people supporting me. Amy Gallagher is going to help me do this, and my assistant, Tarni Bresky, is working on the site. And yeah, it feels really beautiful. I've always had a thing with the homeless. And
yeah.
I have a lot of anxiety about becoming homeless. It's probably where it started when I was a kid. And I think this is really the right book to do it with. You know, it's well endorsed by Elizabeth Lesser and Raya Mountain Dreamer and Catherine Woodward Thomas. So it's got credibility and. And at the same time, it's helpful. You know, it's not like selling something not helpful. It sort of hopefully hits people in both places. They're helping that person, but they're also helping themselves by getting a book that might be useful to them. And, you know, I know with Slim, people were sending me, you know, money from places worldwide asking not me to sign the book, but him to sign it.
Aww.
So it was really beautiful. Volumes of books, and tons of them. It was great. People were looking for him at St. Clair and Christie on the corner. He was there with the signs and the pushcarts.
Right.
So we're going to do that. We're going to start videoing, and we're going to create a whole energy around this.
Nice.
Yep.
I love it.
Loveitforward.net should be up beginning of the new year at the latest.
Perfect. Well, we will have you back in the new year because we do want to talk about...
Carmageddon.
Mm-hmm.
The labor of hate for 7 years, Carmageddon. I'm ready to talk about it. With you,
okay.
Lori, I'll tell the whole truth.
Yeah. Perfect. We got a few minutes left. Let's go to two of my last quotes. We'll start with page 90.
Okay. This whole dance is one of sacred imagination, envisioning the next set of eyes we will see the world through, and then doing the work to humanifest it. At first, we only see a faint light way ahead on the path. Then we see an etch-a-sketch of unlimited possibility. First one form, then another, until we craft a shape that is deeply true. Take out your paintbrush and paint yourself into being. I think I should have used a sculpture thing at the end. But anyway, now that's another writer's self-criticism. self-shaming. I just always saw it like that. Like James Hillman used the term innate image, the great James Hillman. And I love that term. I don't know. You know, I took that to mean that you had you were born with these scriptures, these visions of possibilities, who you could become if you evolved into the yourself, you know, like what you would look like, how you would walk and talk, how different it would be as you move closer and closer to wholeness on your journey, found your callings, lived your callings, how your lens changed, how your personality changed, how your body changed. That's how I've always seen it, seen myself in different visual forms if I live my path, and versus what happens to that vision of that form if I corrupt and don't find my path, don't live my path, you know, shrink myself down to size, you know, like that. And that it's artful. It's really self-shaping as an art form. myself crafting, and it's always how I've seen it. It's really what it is.
Well, now I found another one that I like, and I'm not sure. with that one, I thought we'd go to page 147, because it's, as we paint, we will do this.
We fall down. We get up. We get up. We fall down. We either see our stumbles as examples of our own victimhood, we're being abused by the universe, or as opportunities for self-creation, embracing life's challenges as essential lessons from the God self within. The gift of falling down. There's gold in them there spills. Stumbling towards ecstasy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what happens, right?
We... Well, and how you look at it. I mean, you've got to honor yourself as a victim for a while, because you probably were.
Mm.
And you don't want to do the forgiveness bypass and trip out of that too early. You want to get into that, like... You know, F you for what you did to me, and own that and express that, and really, you know, recognize that it wasn't okay, these things that have happened to most of us. But then at some point, it's like, okay, I'm done, kind of, you get done with that. And then it's, you start to upframe it, you know, like, why did I pick that? And what lesson was in that? And you just keep going through life like that. You're going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to learn a lesson, or you're just going to keep blaming the world, and you're going to keep falling down. And, not growing forward into your wholeness. So it's complicated. You don't want to trip too far at it. You don't want to, like, always call somebody a victim when they're acknowledging that what happened to them wasn't acceptable. We need that. That's how the world gets better. We start to realize that what was acceptable before behaviorally isn't, right? It's
right.
A good thing. And the conscious media can help with that, right? Raise
right.
our awareness of things. But at some point, you want to start working with the stuff on a different level, I think.
Yeah. And creating, then, your life. But just always know that it's okay to fall down.
Yeah, you're going to, it's absolutely, you know, it's just the
right?
journey.
Don't beat yourself up, just pick yourself back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have feet. Means we're going to trip sometimes.
That's right. Well, Jeff, always, always, always a pleasure.
Yeah,
we will have to do more shows in the new year.
Great.
Yes. And
check
them out. If
there is a new year, you know, Carmageddon's coming. So one way or the other, we're going to be talking about Carmageddon.
That's right. Yeah. For sure, for sure. All right. Well, thank you again. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul with Jeff Brown. Check him out. You can check him out at soulshaping.com and on Facebook. He's got several groups and pages, so check him out there. We've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.